are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name's Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. Happy Friday, everybody. Happy NBA All-Star Weekend as it kicks off tonight, the Celebrity All-Star Game on ESPN at 6 o'clock Central. And then after that, the Rising Stars Challenge, which will feature none other than the Timberwolves' Josh Okogie. And then, of course, All-Star Saturday and the big show on Sunday. Today, we're going to preview Team USA versus Team World tonight in the NBA Rising Stars game. Again, Josh Okogie will be participating. Second year player, rookie Jarrett Culver was not selected to participate. Remember, those rosters are divided up into the World team and the USA team. We'll do a quick preview, my quick prediction on who's going to win, and we'll talk about Okogie as well, obviously. We're also going to quickly preview the other events of the weekend, including the Skills Challenge on Saturday, three-point contest, slam dunk competition. I'll give you my predictions, which, of course, you can absolutely take to the bank. We're going to start, however, with a quick look at the Iowa Wolves of the G League and which players have been showing out for the Wolves down in Des Moines and what to look out for here in the second half of the season. First, though, a quick reminder to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts, you'll find this one. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. All right, let's talk Iowa Wolves. So that roster has been, really, there's been a lot of up and down. There's been, you know, the Wolves have used their two-way players quite a bit this year, Jordan McLaughlin and Keelan Martin. And so each of those guys has only been down there for, respectively. Martin's played 22 games down there. McLaughlin's played 23. And the team itself has played 36, so roughly two-thirds of the season. And then the Wolves have also used second-round pick Jalen Noel has been down there for 26 games. Nas Reed has played 16 games down there. He's been up a little bit more, especially recently. And those are really the only guys that have been up and down. But many of the players on that roster were actually with the Wolves during summer league, and a couple of them were on the roster during training camp as well. So there's some interesting names. We haven't really talked about the Iowa Wolves much recently at all here on Locked On Wolves. So I thought we'd check in, see how everybody's doing, see who's improved year over year, et cetera, et cetera. I wanted to start with the guys who have spent time with the big club and what they've been doing down in Iowa. I think the biggest contrast between what we've seen in the NBA and the G League is Jalen Noel. And clearly the Wolves are keen in on him and want, I mean, he's averaging the most minutes of anybody on that team. And the Wolves obviously want to see what he can turn into. Remember, he was this year's second round pick. He was the Pac-12 player of the year last year, was a really good player at Washington. You look at his college numbers, and he played 2 years there. His second season, 44% from beyond the arc, averaged 16 points, 5 rebounds a game, was just a really good all-around player, but a sharpshooter, really. And that's clearly what the Wolves were looking for when they drafted him in the second round. In the NBA, things have not gone as well for Jalen Noel. He hasn't gotten consistent playing time, obviously, when he's been up. He's only appeared in 9 games, but total in the season, he's shooting 3 of 20 from beyond the arc in the NBA. That's 15%. He missed like his first 10 or something like that, and has been a little better recently. But in the G League, he's shooting 44.1% from beyond the arc. So right in line with what he did at Washington as a sophomore last year, obviously with a much closer 3-point line. Overall, he's averaging 21 points a game, 5 rebounds, 3.5 assists. And he's turning the ball over a couple of times a game, which is his turnover rate is a little bit higher than you'd want it to be for a guy who's mostly primarily a catch and shoot guy. Although he is being asked to do a little bit more in the G League. In just under 33 minutes a game, you'd like him to grab a few more than 5 rebounds per game. He is 6'5", and he's going to be asked to play some 3 and guard some 3s in the NBA, potentially even some 4 down the road with the way things are going in the NBA. But he's attempting 7 threes a game, and he's making 3 of them. That's 44%. And that's probably the most important number for Noel in the G League, and he's leading that team in scoring. So a good performance from him so far, and encouraging that he's playing that well down there, and related to his future prospects. In terms of the other player who's not a two-way player but was an undrafted rookie this year that signed a partially guaranteed contract, just like Noel, Nas Reed has played only 16 games down there. He started all of them, and he's averaging 18 and just a hair under 10. So 18.4 points, 9.8 rebounds a game. And he's shooting 38.6% from beyond the arc, which is a consistent theme. Pretty much all these guys that have been up and down are shooting the ball well from deep in the G League. Nas's overall field goal percentage is a hair over 50%. He's only shooting 61% from the free throw line. That's something that ideally would improve a little bit. But for a guy who has such unlimited upside, just based on his talent level coming out of high school and how highly recruited he was at LSU, one of the reasons he wasn't drafted in this draft is he only put up 13.6 points, 7 rebounds a game. He's outpacing that easily in the G League. And it does make sense that the NBA game or the G League game, even more open, far more open than the college game, is going to suit his playing style a little bit better. So Nas has clearly played well down there. That's good to see. Also, Keelan Martin, who's one of the two-way players, who's gotten a little bit less run than Jordan McLaughlin just due to positional need at the NBA level. Martin had that really nice run. I think it was at Utah in that game. The Wolves won at Utah back in, like, I don't know, early December, late November, that Martin had a really good game. And since then, he struggled a little bit. But he's his numbers almost mirror Jalen Noel's in the G League. He's averaging about 19 points, 5.5 rebounds a game. His steal number is a little bit higher, assists are a little bit lower, and he's shooting 39.3% from beyond the arc, which is encouraging to see also. 39.3 beyond the arc, overall from the field, 48.3%, shooting 76% from the free throw line. I think, again, with him, you'd like to see that rebounding number just a little bit higher. I mean, he did play some four already for the Wolves. He actually started at the four. I think the game that was that Hawks game, I think, after the first trade the Wolves made last week, after they had traded out the trade before the deadline, the really bad game against the Hawks, he started at the four. So the Wolves are going to ask him to do that a little bit. He's got to rebound the ball a little bit better. And then just given how many shots he's taking at the G League, it'd be ideal to see him be a little more efficient. But again, the 3-point percentage is probably the number the Wolves are looking at most closely. And 39.3% on 6.5 attempts per game, really good. All three of those guys, Noel, Martin, and Nas, are all shooting the ball really well from deep down there. Jordan McLaughlin's started 23 games for the Iowa Wolves. He's obviously the Wolves' backup point guard for the foreseeable future at this moment. But in the G League, he was averaging 16.7 points, 6.1 assists, 4.5 rebounds a game, also 2.3 steals per game. He's shooting 35% from the three-point line, which is good. It's passable. It's as a college player, he was also a passable three-point shooter. It's his size is probably the primary reason that he was undrafted after playing 4 years at USC. But for his career, he shot about 38% from beyond the arc in college, 39.7% as a senior, but has always been a pretty good defender for his size. And he's shown that with a really high steal rate and a passable turnover rate in the G League as well. The nice thing with McLaughlin is, remember last year he played basically the full season for the Long Island Nets, the Brooklyn G League team, played 39 games there. He shot only 33.5% from beyond the arc, and overall from the field 42.5%. So to see those numbers improve to 35% and 50% respectively is really encouraging. He's also seen improvements in really all of his rate stats. I mean, the rebounding rate, steal rate, all those numbers are going up for him this year. And he's played a lot better recently in the NBA as well. So good for Jordan McLaughlin. He's just kind of like, you know, an impressive job by the front office of uncovering a guy like him who's been around and everybody scouted him, but it's really starting to look like he's a solid, solid NBA player. And maybe his future is a third point guard. That's probably more realistic, but a good third point guard, like somebody who's going to have a job in the NBA if he plays like he has of late for the Wolves. As a team, the Iowa Wolves are 16-20. They're second in the G League in offensive rating, but they're only 25th in defensive rating. They've played a ton of high scoring games this year. Their Pythagorean record actually suggests they should be 18-18, and they've been a little bit unlucky because they've lost some close games. But I mean, this is what the Wolves are trying to do, is ingrain this launching 3-point mentality into their G League team, and then see where that goes at the NBA level. Obviously, the defense will need to improve, but we'll see what that means moving forward. I did want to talk a little bit about some of the other guys on this roster that might be familiar names from either college or possibly summer league training camp, guys that have been around a little bit. So we'll get to that here in just a second. And then after that, we're going to move on and talk about All-Star Weekend. All right, putting a bow on the G League conversation, a couple names that are going to stand out. So Amari Spellman was just sent to the G League on Wednesday. He's played one game there, did not start, played 28 minutes, scored 15.7 rebounds, 2 of 5 beyond the arc, made both of his free throws. I don't think he's played in the G League at all. And in his career, he's been in the show, if you will, for pretty much all of his first two seasons. This is only his second season as a pro. So we'll see. It looks like he's responded okay. We'll see how he responds moving forward and if he can make a case for getting up to the Wolves before the end of the season. That's a name that's notable. Also, Jordan Murphy, who Minnesota basketball fans know that he played 4 years for the Golden Gophers of the University of Minnesota and is the career rebounding leader there. I think he had the second highest rebounding total for a career of any player in Big Ten history. He was in training camp with the Wolves, has played in all 36 games for the Iowa Wolves. He started 14. He's only averaging 9.8 points and 6.3 rebounds per game, couple assists. He's shooting only 27.3% from beyond the arc, so probably about what's to be expected from a guy like Murphy. The knock was simply size. He's only 6'6", and he's essentially a power forward and also shooting range. So he's an undersized power forward that can't stretch the floor. So his impact is going to be limited as a pro. He does have his rebounding rate is 15.2% and just over 20% of defensive rebounds he's able to secure when he's on the floor. You know, looking at what he did as a college player, his senior year at the University of Minnesota, he averaged 14 and 11. His junior year, he averaged just under 17 and 11.3 rebounds per game. And his rebounding rate in college was also, it was 20% overall. So he had a 20% rebounding rate his senior year, 28.5 defensive rebounding rate. And so far in the G League, he's at 15% and 20% defensive rebounding. So those rates have gone down a little bit in the pros. I think he deserves a chance to try and grow a little bit in the G League. But remember, he was a four-year player, so he's already 22, I guess, or he's about to turn 22, or no, he's about to turn 23 here in about 2 weeks. So I don't know how much upside there is there, but we'll see if the Wolves give him a chance next year as well to stick on this team. Other players that were in summer league with the Wolves, Barry Brown Jr. is averaging 12 points, 3 rebounds a game, 2 assists a game. He's played in all 36 games, mostly off the bench, shooting just under 38% from beyond the arc. He's kind of a scoring combo guard that's a little bit undersized. So he profiles more as a point guard, but he's more of a scorer. And he's had an okay season down there. Also Tyus Battle, who many folks know from playing at Syracuse. He's had a good season so far in limited action. He's played in every game, averages, I guess, 23 minutes a game, but 8 points, 3.5 rebounds, 39.5% from beyond the arc. So good performances from him so far this year as well. Jacob Evans, who was acquired in the trade with the Warriors, has now played 2 games in the G League, and he's only played 17.5 minutes a game. Not really a scoring guard, more of a defensive-minded guy, not a shooter. He's missed all 4 of his 3-point attempts so far with the Iowa Wolves. 6 points, 3 rebounds, 2 assists a game, a steal and a half a game. So he could be a guy that could crack the wing rotation moving forward for the Wolves if he shows a little bit of growth down in Iowa this year. Those are probably the most notable names, and hopefully the Iowa Wolves can gain a little bit of traction in the second half of the season and improve a little bit, but it'll be really intriguing to see what Spellman can do, especially also Jacob Evans. And then also, I should also mention Lindell Wigginton. The Wolves signed him to a contract late in the offseason last year, and he's on one of the deals where there's some upside to him if he's, depending on how he performs, the Wolves have the ability to convert his contract to an NBA deal. He is averaging 15 points a game and shooting 36.6% from beyond the arc, but he's actually been, his impact is a little bit, actually, ironically, fellow Canadian and similar last name, Wiggins, Andrew Wiggins-esque in 35 games, he's averaging 26 and a half minutes a game, but he's only shooting 42.7% from the floor total. He's only averaging 3.5 rebounds a game, 3.4 assists per game. His rebounding rate is disappointing for his athleticism. He's only grabbing 7% of available rebounds when he's on the floor. And his turnover rate is 17%. His assist rate is 17.8%. So certainly some growth needs to happen there. He's more of a point guard, obviously, than Andrew Wiggins. I'm not saying that they're the same player because they're not, but that was just a last name similar and they're from the same country. So the counting stats look good, but some of the efficiency and the assist turnover isn't great. But we'll see what he's able to do in the second half of the season as well. All right, moving on to the All-Star weekend festivities. I'm not about to make a prediction about the celebrity game on Friday night, but that's always fun to watch a little bit of. The Rising Stars game is after that, so it's 8 p.m. Central this evening on Friday. Remember, these rosters are U.S. versus world. Josh Okogie's on the world roster representing Nigeria. And at first glance, the world roster is significantly better. It's not particularly close. The world has the likes of DeAndre Ayton, RJ Barrett, Brandon Clark from Memphis, Luka Doncic, obviously, is the headliner. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Rui Hachimura from Washington, and Josh Okogie, obviously, and Mo Wagner from Washington. I would say at first glance, the world has the advantage in this game. Those are just the key names that stick out to me. Looking at the U.S. roster, they're headlined by Trae Young. You've also got Zion Williamson, who's actually an injury replacement for Wendell Carter Jr. The other names, Tyler Hero's not going to play. He's injured. Devontae Graham, the Wolves just saw him the other night. Same with Miles Bridges. Jaren Jackson Jr., John Morant, Colin Sexton, PJ Washington. I guess there's a few names there too. But I tend to think that... Oh, I should also mention Ayton's not playing due to injury. I think in this game, Gilgeous-Alexander and Doncic are arguably the best players in the game. Trae Young obviously is very good. Zion Williamson, we'll see how much he plays and how involved he is. But my prediction is that the world actually takes this game. I think that they have a little bit more experience in terms of guys who have played more at the NBA level. This is, of course, the type of game that Trae Young should excel in, maybe even more so than Luka Doncic, but we'll see how free and loose Doncic plays. And if the world roster can get, they've got some of the best rebounders that'll be on the floor, like Brandon Clark, also some shooting as well. So my take is that the world's going to win this game, but I think it should be actually a really good one. It's been a while since there's been two really legit main headliners in Trae Young and Luka Doncic, but we'll see with the big game coming up on Sunday how much both of those guys play. And Trae Young's really involved on All-Star Saturday as well. He's going to get into the he's in the three-point contest. I think he's in the skills contest. He's not. He's just in the three-point contest. But he's going to be around all weekend. So we'll see how much those guys actually play on Friday. But my take is that the world will win. We'll see what Okogie's able to do. He had a couple of nice dunks last year in the game when he played in it as a rookie. So I would expect that again. But of course, he's not going to launch a ton of threes and probably be super involved like late in the game or anything like that. But here's hoping for a good showing from Okogie. He's the only Timberwolves representation we have this weekend, which is about as light as the Wolves have been represented in a while. Nobody on All-Star Saturday. Of course, Towns or D'Angelo Russell are not in the big game on Sunday either. So make sure to tune into the Rising Stars game on Friday night. All right. Lastly, we are going to talk about the other competitions on All-Star Saturday, skills, three-point contest, and the slam dunk contest. And I will make my picks for who's going to win. And then we will put a bow on this week, on the final week before All-Star weekend, and look ahead to what's up next week for the Timberwolves. There's a little bit more buzz this year about All-Star Saturday. I think the three-point and slam dunk competitions have a little bit more star representation than I think we've seen in recent years. We'll start by talking about the skills challenge, which is always a little bit of a crapshoot. Bam Adebayo's in it from Miami, Patrick Beverley, the Clippers, Spencer Dinwiddie from the Nets, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander from the Thunder, Milwaukee's Chris Middleton, Indiana's Domantas Sabonis, Pascal Siakam from Toronto, and Jason Tatum from Boston. You could really pick any of those guys and expect them to win. I'm going to go with Spencer Dinwiddie. I think that he's probably got the best competition of speed, skill, and enough shooting ability to get this done. Remember, there's, assuming they didn't change the course, there's some speed. The speed dribble is really important. Also being able to make a three-pointer. And then there's a bounce pass. I think there's a chest pass that they have to make through essentially a hoop or a tire. So I'm going to pick Dinwiddie. My runner-up would be Gilgeous-Alexander. So I think it's for sure one of those two guys, but I'll pick Dinwiddie. But that should be fun to watch. Remember, Carl Anthony Towns actually won this a few years ago. I think it was his second season in the league. Maybe it was his rookie year. Moving on to the three-point contest, this is always kind of the most fun one to pick because there's so many. I mean, you could just pick the guy who has the best three-point shooting percentage, or the guy who's won before, or you know, the person that has the most, what looks like the most repeatable shot form. But the participants are Davis Bertans from Washington, Devin Booker of the Suns, Devontae Graham from Charlotte, Joe Harris from the Brooklyn Nets, Buddy Hield from Sacramento, Zach LaVine, obviously with the Bulls, Duncan Robinson, the undrafted second-year guy with the Miami Heat, and Trae Young from Atlanta. Remember, last year, Joe Harris actually won this event, and going back a couple of years, did Buddy Hield win it a couple of years ago? No, Devin Booker actually won it 2 years ago. So Devin Booker and Joe Harris have each won the event. They're both in it this time. I think Harris isn't actually a bad pick, nor, you know, it's not likely, it's not often that somebody repeats. Going back and looking at the list of winners, the last time somebody repeated was Jason Capono back in 2007 and 8. Peja Stojakovic did it in 2002-03. Jeff Hornacek did it back in 98 and then 2000. There was not an All-Star game in 99 actually because of the lockout. I think a couple of these guys, like Trae Young, actually doesn't shoot that great of a percentage. He's more of just somebody that can shoot from really deep. So unless he decides to take five steps back and shoot it from really deep, which could be kind of fun, I don't think he wins. Zach LaVine also, like, he can get hot, but I think his shot is a little bit, I think he gets too much elevation, and I think his percentage is actually a little bit lower. Hield wouldn't be a bad pick. Obviously, Harris. I think Duncan Robinson's a decent pick. He's such a big guy, and sometimes it's hard for big guys to repeat that shot motion several times. You know, I think like Duncan Robinson gets past the first round, but does he get tired? My pick's going to be Davis Bertans. I think that, I mean, yeah, I think he might actually be shooting the best percentage of any of these guys this year. 42.4% beyond the arc. He was 42.9% last year with San Antonio. He's having a career year with the minutes he's getting in Washington. But I actually think Bertans is going to win. I think that his shot is repeatable enough. I think that he's the type of guy who could get really hot in this game and ultimately win it. So that's going to be my pick. If I'm going to pick a runner-up, I'll go with Joe Harris as the runner-up. So those two, my top two. And yeah, that's my pick for that one. Looking at the slam dunk competition, such a weird lineup. Dwight Howard, who of course hasn't been in it in like basically a decade. And then Aaron Gordon, whose last appearance was, it was 3 years ago when he lost the dunk off to Zach LaVine in a contest that actually saw Aaron Gordon have the best, probably two dunks, but LaVine had maybe a little more consistency and ultimately won on some, somebody had to win, you know, technicalities from the judges. So I think Aaron Gordon's probably the favorite headed into it. And I think I'm going to pick him. I think he wins this. Dwight Howard being in it is super interesting. Pat Connaughton from the Milwaukee Bucks and then Derek Jones Jr. from Miami are in it as well. I'm going to go with Aaron Gordon as the winner and Connaughton as the runner-up in this one. But really intrigued to see what Dwight brings to the table. I'm sure there will be a Superman cape. I'm sure there will be, I mean, who knows? He's a lot older and has had a lot of back problems, so not exactly sure what he's going to be up to. Obviously, Aaron Gordon being a few years older, you know, who knows if he's got the exact same bounce as he did when he took on LaVine. But because of his creativity last time around, and also because he's still pretty young, I'm going to say that he wins this. Although Connaughton may have the most impressive vertical of the group at this point, so we'll see. We'll see how that goes. Derek Jones Jr. should be a lot of fun as well. So those are my picks. We'll go through these real quick. I'm picking Dinwiddie with Gilgeous-Alexander as the runner-up in skills. I'm picking Bertans with Joe Harris as the runner-up in the three-point competition, and I'm picking Gordon with Connaughton as the runner-up in the dunk contest. So there we go. On the record, that's what I'm going with. We'll check back in on these on Monday and see how I did and talk. We'll have a quick review of the weekend. I'm not going to preview the All-Star game on Sunday because who knows what's going to happen in that game. Although the format, which I guess we should have talked about a little bit, but that's changing. If you hadn't heard, there's going to be a new format where the teams are actually, you can win each quarter, and then the final quarter they're playing to a certain number instead of just like a regular game. The idea being that each quarter will then be more competitive, and then at the end of the game there's a target number to try and achieve instead of still playing nonchalant exhibition style basketball until probably the final 4 minutes, as has always happened in the past. So we'll talk about how that format goes over in Monday's show. We'll review the weekend. We'll talk about how All-Star Saturday went, and also a Cookies performance on Friday. So there will be a lot to talk about on Monday as well. All right, that's all we have for you today. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. Subscribe to this podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.